ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 561st episode of the Geek First Podcast. I'm just a clown prince of podcast dress. Now I got nothing special today. And I'm joined by...
I'm the web-slinging Kirkland Batsery.
Yeah, and?
I'm the predict Taylor Field.
What does that even mean, the predict?
That's a good question. The predict.
Wouldn't you be like, if you said the predictor?
The predict.
But he has it capitalized, so it could be like a proper noun. So it's like like an alien person. Like, I am the predict.
The predict. I like that.
Sounds cool.
It's not the worst name I've heard. Yeah. It's not the worst name. I can't remember because Kyle's back in town.
Oh, he is the worst. He is the worst.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say. Yeah,
X-Men Retro.
Yeah. If you go back and watch the X-Men retrospective ranking episode where we ranked them all, Kyle opened up with he was the Rate Master, but his T was very soft when he said he was the Rate Master. And I had to.
And like, why rate? Why not like the ranking or like something? Yeah. Like, it's not like we're rating, but whatever.
And I couldn't remember if I told Emily this or not, so I had to show her the clip and, oh, it's a good one. I had to find it. And
it's like that scene in Scary Movie where he's like grabbing the peanuts. And like, the first time he very clearly says penis, but then he plays off like, oh, I'm just saying peanuts. That was the same thing with Kyle Smith that day.
Exactly, yeah. So I was reminiscing because we were talking about that. So one
that
one
pops
time
in my head every once in a while. I'll just driving along and I just, Kyle. He's not on the podcast enough anymore, but man, some good moments with him.
He will be. We'll get back on some after nines and stuff like that. He's in our time zone now, so that's what we were talking about the other day. So he's still moving in and stuff. So, but the Rate Master will return one day to rate some
he's
movies.
Back. Running high at everyone.
You gotta look out for the Rate Master. He'll rate anybody.
Back from Australia. He's back with a vengeance. That could be like a movie title.
Back from Australia. Yeah, not Rate Master. That might not fly. We're not making any GB movie that has Rate Master, but you know. But this week, this is drop. Patrons are getting this early. This is dropping at the end of the week. It's kind of the next 2 weeks are a bit of a messy thing and whatnot, but we got it. It's crazy. It's been like a weird year just in general, because it just feels like, man, we're already in June, but just even then it just feels like already we're a week away, you know, a little few days when we record this, but still a week away from Spider-Verse 2. Felt like just yesterday got delayed like by a year, and I was like, oh fuck, that's so long. Yeah. And now it's literally a week away, where it's like, man, that's it's so close. It's, you know,
it feels
it
feels not long ago that I like saw it for the first time in theaters and was just blown away. Yeah. I'm like, what? Like, I need more of this. Like, oh my gosh. And then here
and that
we
was
are.
4 years ago, though.
That's insane. That's growing up scary. Time moves so fast. I feel like I had that same thought when we were doing the Guardians predictions. It's just like, holy shit, that movie's already here, and here we are now. Spider-Verse been delayed multiple times, and it seemed to, like, when I saw on the schedule, I was like, that's too early. Like, it's we normally do the predictions a week out, but like, this seems way too early. And then I looked, I'm like, holy fuck, it's actually June next week. Oh no.
And I know summer, like I was telling them, I know, like, because the whole narrative is now like, okay, the summer movie season, there's always movies, but now it's like not all of them do well. So I know summers have always been stacked, but just even stuff like we're not seeing it day one, but even like Little Mermaids this week, it's like, that doesn't even make sense to me. It's just because I'm got busy life stuff going on, and we're busy with podcasts and our other activities with the podcast. But it's just like, already it's like, okay, you got Little Mermaid, and then you got Spider-Verse, and then I can't remember what's Transformers for you guys and stuff like that, and then Flash, because I was just going, that over Travis told you, like, doesn't even feel like Little Mermaid. It's just like, oh yeah, it's just here, you know. It's just stuff like that. So
what do those seats look like?
Little Mermaid
vacancy.
You think so? I don't think so.
I think so, but I guess now I'm
let's pull it up.
I'm
let's
wrong.
Pull an extreme. Well, you and me right now are the only people in the Flash theater, so we got
nice and close.
Yeah. What was it looking up? Right, Little Mermaid Precess. I'm gonna pull up the extreme, which is as usually our biggest screen for the Thursday opening night.
More than us at Flash.
Well, yeah, but that movie's out in a few days. Let's see.
Well, that's a good sign, at least.
Looks like there's about like 30-ish people.
That's
so
pretty good, I would say.
I do think that one will probably do more money during the days on a Saturday and Sunday with being a family movie. Like, I don't know how many people are going at 7 p.m. Like, I'm sure there's some, but I guarantee you, like, let me even see, like, Friday during the day. Friday, 3:45. Let's take a look at this. Let's see here. Nobody. Never mind. My theory's gone.
3:45 on a Friday. Come on. Gotta get off work first, Travis. Get the kids.
But I thought
ready.
About those people with the kids. Okay, let's do the last thing. Here's mini Little Mermaid predictions cast. Here you go. Okay, let's say Extreme 12:15 on a Saturday day. Nobody. 3:20, nobody. 6:30.
Oh, no. 6:30. It's over for you.
6:30. It's seven people. So I don't know. I'm sure let's do Kelowna. That's great. Maybe people don't want to drive out to the west side, you know? Standard, 6:30. Oof, nine people. I don't know. This theory's not going to
work. Maybe
that'll
be a VOD type movie. Finds its success dead.
Projections are really good, so I don't know. Maybe it's just Kelowna. Canadians don't give a shit about it and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah. You're not seeing that one, right, Kirkland? Little Mermaid? You've seen it.
Not right away.
One. Yeah.
Not right away. I think Shay and I have, like, very lukewarm, like, hype for it right now. Mm. We're riding a high. We just rented Super Mario over the weekend. Oh, Shay's first time watching it. Oh, that movie's so good. I actually liked the Bowser stuff a lot more the second time around. So, yeah. It's a great, great movie.
Mm. So it's her first time? She didn't want to see it in theaters?
No, yeah, we were going to go do it, but then we're very homebody type individuals. Mm. It's like we get hyped up for it, and then it gets close to the time. It's just like, well, we could just stay at home, and, you know, we got
you
Marco
like
at home.
Two minutes away.
It's so far, Taylor. Yeah, that's brutal. Can't do that. Got to be my BJs cozy at home. Plus, we can pause multiple times.
Your what?
Get wild.
Your PJs? Yeah. That's not what I heard. I heard a Kyle slip up there.
I said whatever
BJs.
You wanted me to hear. Yeah, that's
can't
you.
Get those
BJs,
at the theaters.
BJs, booster juices.
Especially during Mario. You don't want to be getting no BJs during Mario.
Maybe in the Little Mermaid theater. Fuck, sounds like
yeah,
no one's there.
Perfect situation. But you don't, because I feel like that's a... Any
that's not
any
a
family
where
it walks in, yeah, you're a sexual
maybe in the
offender.
Shame in the Shame theater showing, maybe
Shame,
maybe like
yeah.
That.
What else is out this week? What's a blowjob movie? Let's see.
Oppenheimer.
John Wick. That's very loud. The book club. Okay. Has anyone seen the book club? Like, let's see, 10:25 tonight at Grand Tan.
Like
the
five
book
club movies out. Right
isn't
now?
That the one that's like 40 for Brady or whatever?
It's yeah, but Brady. It's that not. I don't think they're the same people. I think they're not the same people. I don't even know directors. It's just like this style of movie.
The same.
There's gonna be an Avengers type like setup where all these types of movies just come together and
40
just...
book club old lady movie.
Yeah. The casting is going to be crazy. Budget's like half $1 million.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if you want a good blowjob movie, go see The Book Club at 10 p.m. Not a single soul is seeing The Book Club right now. Cheap Tuesday as well. You know, go see The
I
Book Club.
I thought that's what it would be cheap for blowjob. Dark Nature, a Monday night, 7:10. But
I've never
like, no
heard
one else
about
had any
movie.
Tickets in there. But when we walked in, it was still empty. But then all of a sudden, like one guy comes in and sits in the row alone in front of us. There was four people that came in right after.
Did you like that the guy sat in front of you? Were you annoyed?
No.
Okay. That would annoy the fuck out of me and stuff like that.
It was like basically me and Everything Everywhere All at Once, but I sat behind them. 10 o'clock showing. They thought that was going to be a BJ movie for sure.
Yeah. God, I'll never forget that Everything Everywhere All at Once. Because I had the same thing where there was only a couple, and then there was like another person who was clearly doing the back row. And I just remember she was like 5 minutes late. She sits down, she sits, she gets her thing, and then she kind of like doesn't feel that I'm there. And then she went back to the movie. Like, because it was dark, so I think she didn't, like, know if there was a person there for sure. And I just, like, locked eyes. And it was, like, a John Cena, Gary Cole thing from,
Blockers.
Yeah.
I think it's just called Blockers.
Right. And that just was a moment we just both stored for, like, a minute. I'm like, why are you staring at me? And she's probably, why are you staring at me? But it's like, this is my blowjob. Yeah, and then Emily popped up, and then, no. But, I don't know where. She locks eyes with her dick and mouth, everything.
I apologize if anyone doesn't understand that reference. Go watch Blockers. Great,
yeah, we're not
great
making
movie.
Oh, you know, I can't wait for Spider-Verse. My son's really excited.
Yes.
I'm going to be listening to some prediction casts. My son plugging this little ditty. Geek First Podcast. This looks like it's a happy logo. Oh, no, there's something else I was going to say before we got in the predictions. There's some of the movies, but...
Dark Nature, 2022 film.
Right, that's
what
we're
seeing it now.
I don't get it, because it says online, yeah, 2022, released in like a bunch of festivals, I guess, and then now it was dropped in 2023.
So it had like a limited release or something, and like
I don't understand how the release.
Well, that's what he has to find out, because technically it's like here's the example. Yeah, The Whale, Brendan Fraser's The Whale, is a 2022 movie, but people enormously couldn't see it till 2023. So that's what he has to find out with festivals. But I imagine it just went to some festivals then released later on, because I don't think it probably had a limited release, because I think it's a pretty independent movie like that.
It's a Canadian horror film.
Yeah, that's cool. This is 2022 really cool. Film.
Who wants to see those?
It's May 19th, 2023.
Who's
strange.
Making Canadian horror films that take place in the woods?
They're taking over, man. Everyone's moving out of LA. They're going to be wanting to find out some Canadian films.
I tell you, someone comes to me and says they got a Canadian horror film that takes place in the woods. I'm not seeing that. No, not at all. That doesn't sound like it's worth anything. But no, I just learned about this movie on Saturday, and Taylor asked me, he's like, oh, do you know the deal of this 2022 thing? Like, I don't know what this even then, like, I don't know if it's an Adam thing or whatnot. If it isn't, they must be triggered, because like the photo of the movie, it's not even a poster, it's just like a picture from the movie and stuff like that, you know? So
yeah, it's a good movie though.
Yeah, give it the whole year. I don't know if that should be your Golden Geeks one. I don't know. I saw it, you know.
I really liked it. I got a good feeling about it. I went and watched it and thought, oh, I really, really like this one.
What did Madison
think about
it? The bar
low this year.
Madison really liked it too, actually. Okay. We're both on board with it.
Number one movie of the year, Tetris.
Yeah, we could talk. Yeah.
Still haven't gone through that Tetris. One.
Did you start it?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah.
I fell asleep and, I'll share my thoughts for later.
I liked it, but yeah, Taylor's a fucking crazy person putting that at number one. There's no way that's better than John Wick or Guardians.
I watched John Wick and Tetris John the same day.
There's no way.
Same day, I felt way more hyped up after watching Tetris.
There's no freaking way. John Wick is too
that's
good.
That's a BJ movie, Tetris.
Yeah, you're at home too, so it better be. No, I can't remember if I talked about it. I think I said I was going to, but yeah, I saw John Wick again on the drive-in. That was great. It's on digital now, so you can't rent it, but yeah, no nice. Way that's still number one. No way in Tetris going over that.
Inferno rounds to appear in Tetris, those didn't come to get me super
no
gems.
third act happens, but yeah, you know, Taylor's got some weird takes this year. What did you you didn't like the Peter Pan and Wendy movie. It's so funny, we're playing Call of Duty and Taylor is like, oh, we're talking about, yeah, it's not really good and stuff like that. And he was like, yeah, but Jude Law was great. The same second me and Anne were like, oh, he's awful in this movie. And stuff like that, like the exact same time. I don't think he's awful. I think he's just like, he's popped a couple Xanax and he's just having like a...
he was checked in.
I'm Hook.
Like Weekend at Bernie's.
I'm Hook, you know.
He's Bernie. He's Bernie at Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, Weekend at Hook's. But yeah, that's pretty much it. You guys did anything exciting for the weekend or anything exciting coming up?
Ted Lasso finale next week. Shane, I just watched the penultimate episode. Very sad that it's ending, but also the show is just so emotionally like grabbing. We were getting a little teary eyed near the end there, but it's like an hour 15 minutes for this episode. I think last week was over an hour as well. They're definitely squeezing all the juice out, but I'm gonna be sad that the show is over, because it's such a nice wholesome watch. We're just smiling while we're watching it in between the teary moments for sure. But yeah, it's good content out there. Everybody should go watch it, especially now that it's ending, you know. Mm-hmm. It's start and end. I feel like that can be a little bit easier to jump into for a show, as opposed to one that's like 9 seasons or like fucking, what is it, Grey's Anatomy, that's like still going on.
17
it's like,
seasons, baby.
Why would I ever jump into that show? There is no end in sight.
Because you need to know what McDreamy is and stuff and everything like that, you know. But
I can just Google that.
But wouldn't that be the same case why I used to watch the MCU? There's no end in sight, right?
Got me there. I guess it's not like a big seasonal commitment. I guess it is kind of, for like each year is just comic book season. So you got me there. I don't
know. Like last year we had like 4 movies, 3 TV shows.
I'll need
to
recess, Your
specials.
Honor, to get my rebuttal on that one.
There you go. Grey's Anatomy Retro coming next year. No, don't.
Fuck no. That's my year hiatus for the podcast.
You get us to 100 patrons by July 31st. Yeah. We'll do Grey's Anatomy. Retro.
I will watch all of Grey's Anatomy if that is the case.
I wouldn't even make them do all. The all would be a little much, because I've never even watched all of Grey's Anatomy. I tried again. No, I just stop.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like caught up. Sorry. I was getting excited.
There was a plan to try, because I'm a so how it goes for the Grey's fans. We're getting the Spider-Verse predictions. Don't worry, people. That's what we do. The Grey's fans, it's like 1 to 3 is the glory years. One to three is the glory years as far as like what the tippy top. I've seen that before.
You shared it before.
Yeah, I shared it before. I thought I've shared it before.
I thought you did. One of us did. I saw it before.
Just a meme of Green Goblin, Gwen Stacy having sex. You've all seen it probably. But one to three is like the gold years. Four to five is like the... it's definitely not the S tier, but we're like, we still got some bangers in there. And then there's just a sharp decline when we hit six. And then you kind of get every once in a while some great bangers. Like you'll get like a plane crash episode that's really well done, stuff like that. But so I had stopped. It also hurt because at season five, they killed off my favorite character. And then season six, I tried, but I thought that the writing was a decline. And I didn't, the writing was a decline, but if I had my favorite character, I'd stay there. You know, yeah. Like I can get through. But he was gone and the writing's down. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, stop watching it. So now, because I'm working at home, Emily was watching it, so I was like, oh, I got the bug, so I watched all. And I got even past scenes I'd never seen before, but then I just got to this place in season nine where I just didn't give a fuck anymore. I was like, I know, there was a couple days like, oh, I want to know what's next. I just didn't care, so now it's just sitting there at season nine, and I was like, I don't think I'll ever go back. There's a couple things, like, what did I watch today? I watched that Inside, that William Dafoe movie where he gets locked in the house and stuff like that. Yeah, it was good. It's like, literally, if you just want to see William Dafoe become crazy, That's
Lighthouse
movie.
Without Pattinson.
Not Lighthouse level. So okay. I'd say it's a couple levels below that. But it's an interesting watch if you see it on Netflix. It's nothing I say you gotta have to rush out to watch. It's purely if you just love William Dafoe, that's it. If you don't, like, it's weird because like in the middle of the second act, it looks like something crazy is gonna go down, but it just never really does. It's like, oh, okay, that was just something. So that was all right. And then for the first time I watched the movie Pleasure today, which is, it's a movie, like an actual movie about a girl trying to become like a massive porn star. She moves from Sweden to here, and like lots of like, it's M, that's whatever 18, rated 18, stuff like that. There's tons of
adults only.
Oh yeah, there's like
the legendary game rating.
Like after the credits, the first shot is literally just a shot of her just shaving herself. There's lots of dicks going on and stuff like that.
Nice.
Very dark movie. The only reason I watched it today is because, so The Idol, that movie.
You're
what?
Alone. No one was home.
But no, I at the theater. Perfect blow show.
BJ movie.
Oh, this woman who becomes depressed because she's in porn and hates her life. Yeah. Give me
rock
no,
hard right now.
Yeah. It's all about the, I love torture. No, it's all about like the idea of like, it sounds like the most guy thing is say like, oh yeah, the porn interests me. It's like, no, it's not that. It's just like, just that you think about that how it's such a, always those stats, right? Like the most successful businesses in the world, and those are always like the top like wonderful, like, but like what, how it goes on, just the way that some women do it, and then at a certain age it's like they're cast out. Like it's like a mafia type of thing. So that's the thing, because there was a Pornhub documentary too this year that I watched, and that's where it fascinates me too. It's just like how they still get away with some of the stuff. There's some scenes in this super, super hard to watch because they do like this like domination scene, and it's all like, yeah, she wants to do and stuff like that, but like the behind the scenes, it's not a documentary, but it's, you can tell it's like a movie that's like kind of based on real life stuff, and it's fascinating stuff. I wish it went on long because it's only like 1 hour 40, but I watched that today because the Idol got its reviews, that new show from the Euphoria creator.
Oh yeah
rocking a good 9% Rotten Tomatoes. It's the, apparently it's like the worst. No, I'm still gonna watch it because apparently it's a train wreck, but I think it's the worst reviewed HBO show of all time, and then I think it's maybe the worst reviewed show of all time, so that's good. I think some people just hate the guy as well, the creators.
Is it worse than
kinda...
Velma? I thought Velma was holding that as like the worst show ever.
Well, we got a new one now, you know.
Okay.
So
must,
but the reason I watched is because Pleasure years ago, speaking of this, was a 2021 movie that came out 2022, but it was a festival movie, and I was very interested to see it, but then I just completely forgot about it. So I saw multiple people in my time that says, hey, if you want to see a better version of Idol, watch Pleasure. I was like, right, that fucking movie, because the poster's like her in a pool on a floaty, and she's looking all like hot, and she has like these bathing suits, and she's looking very porn star like and everything. It looks very, like, you know, deceiving, but so that's I watched Pleasure today, man. It was good, so not recommended for everybody, but
Is that you just reminded me because you brought it before.
Yeah.
Is that Sydney Sweeney HBO thing out now where it's like,
she's like a social media influencer or something?
No, it's like she's like a government worker, and there's like a leak or something that happened.
Oh, that's it. I was wrong with the social media influencer thing. I thought that's what she was. Yeah, I don't think it's out yet. I think
it's
soon.
Oh, okay. It's called like reality.
It's some generic reality. Title. It's the most. Yeah, it is something like that. Where it's is just it like reality? Life.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Yeah. But
nothing interests me other than just like it was like a single photo of like Sydney Sweeney just being like super emotional. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot how good she is as an actress.
Looking like looking like she's back at the door or something.
That's
like
quite
that.
A poster. Oh my goodness.
What is she doing on that poster?
Is it blurred out because it's actually
the girl's holding like a banana?
Oh yeah, that's a scene from the movie because they're teaching her how to like sell herself like using clips and stuff like that and everything. So
the font doesn't make it look dark at all.
It's no, it's not. Like even joyful. The poster, everything. But and that's like it starts that way of just like regular porn. Like it's all awkward and stuff. But then it gets into like, well, if you want to be a star, and there's no like for discretion. There's not like any like rape scenes or anything. It's just literally like a look at like how the porn industry works. You're like, it's kind of fucked up and stuff like that. You know. So
yeah, dark. Interesting.
Well, speaking of the porn industry, let's talk about Spider-Verse. You know,
great transition.
Yeah. Well, let's take an ad break. Get out of that transition. This is the father of this kid. I just want to get to the prediction. He's still listening as I talk about pleasure. Let's take an ad break, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. So, first question: how many dicks are we gonna see in Spider-Verse? No, I'm joking. Let's go. We're gonna
not
give
one.
So. Taylor, I'm going to give you the floor because I want to change it up a bit. I want you to pull the chat, IGPT, whatever the fuck it's called. We're going to do that second because I want. Okay, perfect. But first, we're going to start with, you know, as always, the patrons. You can join any tier. And I guess I should say, head down to the links below for everything you need to know. That's where you can get the audio, the video, find our Discord. If you want to get on that Batman 89 watch, which I think is going to be fun. The commentary tracks, I'm excited to always do like at least 4 years, sometimes more. We could be doing more. If you get us to 50 patrons by July 31st, we'll finally do Rise of Skywalker. We always have a good time during our comm tracks. And I feel like Batman 89 is going to be a good time. So we're going to be watching it. But if you want, you join phase two and up. You can join us and the other patrons. Whoever joins, we're going to be watching it. I think it should be a fun time. And yeah, if you get us to that goal in June or July, they'll unlock 5 episodes. Those are down below. If not, they'll be locked in the GV vault for a while, and they won't be back until we do another goal or fundraiser or something like that. But yeah, all that good stuff. Big shout out to Patreon producers, April Braden, Aaron.
Run that back.
Aaron Braden, April of Darkness, and Joshua Wright. You can take Jack Grant out there. Jack Grant, thank you for your... What is that photo now? What is that? Oh,
it's just
no.
Taylor confusing me. IRL. Sorry.
It's a private conversation, Travis.
Oh, okay. He's watching pleasure right now. No. Oh, I see what's happening. But but as usual, and everything you put in the show, it comes back to us. The more shows we can create, stuff like that, more retro specials, all that good jazz. So, let's see. How many Spider-Man variants will die in this movie? Now, ooh. I don't know if he's asked for an exact number. I think I'm going to give like a ballpark because exact could be huge. And it's tough, right? Because we have whatever is the agency of Spider-Man or whatever it may be, right? Where Spider or Miles goes there with Gwen and we meet Miguel and there's a bunch of them, right? So it's just like, it's tough because I could see a lot of them just being cannon fodder and you could have a room of a bunch of them die or if there's bad ones. But I really don't think that's the way it's going to go. So I think I'm going to cop out and say like 2 to 4. That's kind of where I'm at. I don't think, but even then, if someone were to tell me one, like I could believe it. Cause you don't almost want to lose that impact. Right. I don't think Peter B. Parker will die, even though I think that would be the heartstring pull. And it would be kind of funny. Cause in the comics, anytime, Peter's happy or has a kids, the writers always like fuck him up and like he loses everything. And that's the meme. Like people, the meme's been going around of like, there's a poster of Peter B. Parker with Mayday. And it's like, show this to a Spider-Man writer to scare them because they just like, will always just like never let Peter be married to MJ for a longer amount of time. That's like right now she's married to some guy. I think his name's like Luke or something. I don't know. It's
total asshole.
No one likes it. It's just like, why can't they just be together? Why can't like when they got married the first time, they did a whole alternate reality warping thing to be like, no, they can't. They don't remember each other. Just like where we are in the movies, but that's different. So I don't know. I don't think Peter B. Parker will go. I don't really know. I don't think Miguel would go. I know, you know, we'll talk about Spider-Gwen. Maybe we'll talk about it here. She's always an option to go because, you know, Spider-Gwen's always fall. Were you surprised with that, Kirkland?
I don't want to reveal my prediction.
Okay.
Keep going.
So I'm in the, you know, I'll lesser it down. I'll say 2 to 3. 4 seems a bit much, even though you even have stuff like, look at Spider-Verse 1 where we lost like that. the Chris Pine Peter Parker right away, first 10 minutes and stuff like that, right? But I don't think they'll repeat that. I think there's some other characters we could lose, but I'll say 2 to 3, and I don't even feel confident of that. I could even say 1, but I'll say 2 to 3, somewhere there. But Kirkland, you go.
2 to 3. Mm-hmm. The eyebrow raising.
Yeah.
Wet fist. I don't know what I was going to say.
Fist flying, eyebrow raising, dick sucking.
That's me. Yeah, I think... Like, Peter B. Parker is a, I don't even want to say safe one. It's just, like, I feel like that would be the one that I would pick if you were to ask me, like, a little while ago before I just stewed on this for some moments now. But that's just so, so sad. And it's like a Spider-Man curse, as you're laying out, that they just always take it away from him now that he's got, like, a family. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he will survive here. I honestly, I think like maybe just one. I think it's going to be Miguel as well. Like just the one villain.
You think Miguel O'Hara's going?
Yeah, I think he's gone. I think he's chopped off. Oh, yeah. Spider-Axe-Man's going to come in.
Head chopped off.
Maybe not that violent. Like it is tough to like put an actual number on it because there is so many different Spider-Man variants. And I could see like some random ones off screen that we just don't really get a lot of screen time with them. But we just see them like just get axed, which is sad because that's another just universe that's losing a Spider-Man somewhere out there. But like I don't think Spider-Horse is dying. I think that's a bold... Spider-Whore. I think she's safe.
Speaking
too.
Of dick sucking.
So
Spider-Whore. Hey, that could be a man or female. You don't even know.
I'm not really confident with that prediction either, but yeah, I'm going to say one, and it's just the big... I don't want to say big bad. I feel like the big...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Great
points.
Yeah.
The big misunderstood is what I was going for. I accidentally pulled my cord out.
Good thing he knew. I was gonna play it off for
he
a while.
He kept talking for a while there.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Excited.
I don't think Miguel for me is on there because I feel like at the end he's gonna have a good guy turn and they're gonna fight whatever the bigger threat is.
That's when he dies.
When he turns good?
Yeah.
Like a self-sacrifice?
Against the big threat.
See, I can see that. If it's a sacrifice because there's a bigger threat and he has to do that, sure. But I don't see him dying as the villain. I don't see him dying as the bad guy. I think he will turn the corner. I think I agree with Chris Balgo on Marvel Alliance where I think they're purposely making the spot seem like a nothing villain. But I think he is going to grow and become bigger and he will be the villain for Spider-Man beyond the Spider-Verse. And maybe Miguel could die there. Maybe you just like spot his head off and stuff like that. But that's what I'll say. If he dies, it's as a hero, not as the villain, I don't think. And if he doesn't die, then he's coming back to the good side of like, we should all work together and stuff like that, you know?
And you're double downing that he loses his head, just like me. You said the spot removes his head.
I said he spots. Didn't I say spot? He spots his head? Yeah, I guess he would. Yeah, I'm thinking about the same way of like Wong does that to, I think the guy's name is Corvus Glaive, like the big guy. Remember he like cuts off his whole arm with
razor
a portal?
Fist?
Not Razor Fist. Thank God he was in an Endgame game, you know, so.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, you know the guy. He's like, yeah.
Cool character.
Yeah. What about you, Tia? Who do you think's going to bite it? Or if anybody? And specifically Spider-Man, right? Spider-Man variant, so yeah. Spider-Man women, stuff like that.
I don't think we're losing anyone, to be honest. I think I think if we do, we know it's a trilogy. I feel like the losses are going to be in the next film.
Death franchise, though? You know, like other than comedic stuff. Like, I guess we did. Okay, we lost.
We lost his uncle, the Prowler.
Yeah, but villain. Deserved it.
Didn't die, villain.
He's still
saving,
villain.
You know, he was saving Miles. He was
shot by Kingpin. No, he just didn't kill Miles. If that was not Miles, he would have fucking spotted his head off. He didn't turn. He just didn't kill his nephew.
He was turning.
No, I don't think so.
You don't give him enough credit.
Taylor, if Miles is not under that mask, is that Spider-Man dead in Spider-Verse?
Sorry, Kirkland.
Chopping his head off?
Yeah. With that cool music. Because like he showed no signs of doing the right thing, you know, other than, I don't want to kill my nephew, you know.
Okay, yeah.
So we lost him and we lost Chris Pine and Spider-Man. Those are the two. But Taylor's saying nobody.
Yeah, I feel like we're not going to lose anyone. I think the first one, it sets the precedence quite well. And like, look at it from like maybe like Tobey Maguire's trilogy is not like the greatest example.
No, there's a lot
like
of death
first,
there.
The first one had a lot of death.
Each movie ends in a funeral, pretty much.
I'm not talking like villains, though. I'm talking like from the hero side. Like
all his board members.
That's
more deaths than all Spider-Verse.
The first one had the most death, for sure. The second one, I mean, Doc Ock, we can avoid that. But like no one else died.
Are you talking about main characters or anybody dying?
I'm talking about like the main characters. I'm not talking necessarily villains. So the first one, we have like Uncle Ben, and then
Storm and Norman.
Yeah, but Uncle Ben is basically setting the precedence of like, okay, this is like that, not pass through the torch, but like just
you'll be an old man now.
It's like in Spider-Verse 1, that
it's his inspiration
equivalent. Yeah, it's the inspiration character dying and like passing the feedback or the information on whatever.
Here's some feedback.
You're wrong. You're fucking late. And I got
make
shot.
Sure you wear a condom because that's why I'm stuck with Aunt May. You know what I'm saying, Peter?
You get the second
with
Spider-Man
a condom in his hand
with no real death in that second one. And then the third one.
Okay, I guess. You thought Doc's wife.
Rosie. we get to the third Spider-Man, and the third one has, okay, we lose like a close friend, someone who is very important to our main character. I think that's the same here. I think we're going to lose that third person, or not third, that person in the third movie.
Okay.
Who has a very strong
Harry?
Movie. Probably Gwen. I think just Harry.
James Franco's Harry.
I think it'll be Gwen in the third one, to be honest, because I think they're gonna build up and have such a great connection here, romanticizing and all that, and then that third one, she's gonna fall.
I'll counter that prediction for the next movie. I think Gwen is safe for the entire franchise. I don't think she's dying.
Really?
I think what they'll do is I think they're going to make it maybe in a way that it seems like Gwen dies at the end of this movie. And then the third, it's revealed that she's still around and stuff like that. Because it is a two-parter, and I feel like they're going to have some sort of cliffhanger ending and stuff like that. Yeah, I feel like the only hang-up of why Taylor could be right is like they live in different universes, right? So to be together totally, one of them you would imagine would have to, because that would be the worst long-distance relationship of all life, not even just countries, fucking multiverses, right? So you'd imagine someone would have to jump over, and as far as we know in Spider-Verse, it sounds like her dad's still alive. Yeah, because her dad has a voice actor, Shea Whigham, so it sounds like she still has people in her universe, and he still has people in his universe, so it could be a Taylor's point, like, to keep them apart, you gotta kill one of them off, but I don't think they would kill Miles off either, just because I feel like I don't know. With him being such an inspirational character, people, I would personally not like that. I don't think this should be a trilogy where you kill off Miles Morales. You know, that feels weird. So if it had to be one of the two, I think it would be Gwen. But I feel like it's like the Rocket thing, where even in trailers, they're showing Gwen like fall like Emma Stone style and stuff, where it's like, I think they're making us think otherwise. If it's a trilogy, then I think unfortunately it would be Peter B. Parker. But I don't want him to go either. Like, I don't know. Like, we also could be, and I suppose that's the question, but it's fine because we usually ask this. I feel like we could be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 ourselves. Now, skip ahead 5 minutes if you don't want spoilers for that movie. There you go. You're not safe now. But it's like how we all thought, oh, someone's for sure going to die. And even fucking Dave Bautista survived, you know? Yeah. So, like, I'm actually going to go with that, where I don't, at least with the core three of Peter, Gwen, and Miles, I actually think they'll all make it. I don't think anyone's going to die. I think you could lose some other people. Maybe, like, if they brought back a Spider-Man Noir, like someone like that, like Spider-Pam or whatever, like maybe those characters. But I don't think those three, because I kind of want them to get a good ending, you know? So
I agree with that. I don't think the trio are dying at all. I don't know. It just I feel like the Spider-Verse movies now, like, they're just so different from the regular formula that is Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
They touch upon that, but they still, like, incorporate those isms. Like, they even say that, like, this was my Uncle Ben moment. Like, they all have those Spider-Man isms. So they're definitely present, but I don't know. Something in me is just telling me that that, like, those trio are going to be safe. The ones that I would expect the most, probably coming off of Guardians, honestly, because all of my predictions on that were just wrong. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy, he's done in the first 5 minutes, and then get to the end of that movie, and all my predictions were basically wrong for that.
Craiglin made it through, you know? Even fucking Craiglin.
He didn't kill himself with the arrow like I was predicting.
It's like his brother's going to direct DC movies. You know, he's playing Weasel, he's playing Frankenstein, whatever, or who else is he playing? Commandos. He has two roles in Commandos, but either way, you know he's going over there. They still didn't fucking kill this guy. And they left him to be the one of the leaders of Guardians of the Galaxy, the new team.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jeez. Do we think anybody, I know as was an ask, but as an add-on, do we think anybody to the side, like Peter B. Parker's Mary Jane or Miles' parents' or Gwen's dad, like do you think any of those? Because obviously, you know, we've lost Gwen's or Miles' dad in the video game and stuff like that recently, so.
Yeah, I was thinking about the parents of Miles. I feel like those characters, although they seem like they're kind of stepping back a little bit for this movie, which would make sense because Miles is just going to a whole other place that can't take them along with it. I think they're safe like for that reason. And also, like we already had the close to Miles death happen. Like the Uncle Ben moment was his... oh my gosh, what's his name now? The Prowler. What's the Prowler's actual name? Uncle...
Why?
Oh my gosh. Oh, that hurts. It'll bounce back to me. But like we had that moment, so I don't think the dad's dying. I don't think the mom's dying. I think that would just be very dark. But if anything like that were to happen for those characters, something tells me that they would just be able to bring it back. I don't know. I just feel like Miles' family has just
is it Uncle protection. Davis?
Uncle Oh, that's so close. It's so close. I'm gonna Google it because it's bugging me. Unless Taylor's already there. Taylor's already there.
I'm not there.
Cause I was trying to think, because I know he's in Spider-Man Homecoming as well.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, that one hurt.
And like, he's been in comics for a while as the Prowler. It's just like, I can't remember his name at all. I know Brent and Chris are somewhere yelling, but...
Of course, just says Prowler.
That's his name. How do they not know? Is my uncle Prowler? Hey, what's up? Anyways. Just put in Prowler real name. Just put in Prowler real name. That's all you need to go.
I'm looking something else up.
Oh no! Do you
Aaron
give up?
Davis, you're okay. Uncle Aaron. You said Uncle Davis.
Yeah, I call him Uncle Davis, so I was right.
You're the opposite of Taylor. Taylor always references people's first names. You just go by last names.
What's up, Uncle Davis? Yeah,
Uncle Davis.
Yeah, I think the parents, I think they survive. Gwen's dad is, that's a iffy one, because if there is a future of her leaving that universe for Miles' universe, that's the thing I could see. Okay, if her dad dies, she has nothing left there, then she jumps over. So I think he's a possibility. I don't think you care off kill off Mary Jane. Watch them just kill Mayday, their kid. Like, yeah, it's like super dark, the cliffhanger. Everyone's like, oh, I thought this was supposed to be a
no
family
music
movie.
In the credits. Yeah, it's like just super dark.
Credit is Mayday will not return. Like, oh my god, like even the multiverse can't save her. Jesus. But I think out of other characters, maybe just Gwen's dad, and I'm not even for sure on that one. So, what about you two? Any of the friends or family? Or speaking of death,
Like I don't think that we're gonna like. I just don't feel like we're gonna see any of them die. I mean, if we did, maybe the mom, because I feel like there's still a lot more connection and relation that needs to form between the Miles and his dad, because I feel like they tapped into that in the first one a little bit, but I feel like the mom is definitely the bridging factor for the two of them. So if she goes, it could get really depressed, and then you could have the two of them have to really work on the relationship, or they just hate each other.
That's the main villain for the third movie.
He
Miles'
becomes
dad.
The main villain. Yeah,
I'm the Prowler now.
Finds Aaron's outfit.
Other than that, I don't expect. Maybe they kill off Aunt May because she's still kicking around.
Yeah, I guess so. In this universe, you kill. But do you want to do that? Knowing Home just did that, you know, kind of like copying my homework.
They just bring in Green Goblin. Like it's like the exact same scene.
You'll thank me later. Yeah, Defoe voice and everything. Yeah. All right. So before we get into other predictions here, Taylor, can you tell us what the question was you sent to what is it, chat? GTB? I always forget what the fuck
GPT.
It is. GPT. Okay, so what was the question you asked it? Because we've been this started for everybody on the Mandalorian season 3 finale. A great submission by GPT as far as what would happen in that finale. So now every predictions cast, we ask it, what's going to happen? So what is going to happen in Across the Spider-Verse? What did you ask it?
So again, it's very limited on how on recent events. So I got to ask it specifically in a specific way, which is write me a sequel to Into the Spider-Verse. And so it gave me the title, Spider-Verse Unleashed.
That's not bad actually. I like what they're doing with the Across, Beyond, Into the Spider-Verse, but like Unleashed, like that makes sense. Like the multiverse unleashing. So far, Like, even if that's a work tag, you get two thumbs up from me so far.
It's,
you
know, simple, easy to remember, just like Jack Sparrow would say.
Way easier than the SEO that's going to be for fucking Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. You know how much better I would have, like, just put Spider-Man Unleashed, like...
Way better. You know? Or going Birds of Prey route. Like, ChatGPT should have named them that title as opposed to... I don't even remember it now.
Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
They had to throw in the one Harley Quinn, not even just of Harley Quinn.
After Taylor, we're going to get you to ask it what should a Harley Quinn movie be titled, okay? We're going to do that next. Yeah. Okay.
Harley Quinn, Unleashed.
Yeah. Just everything. What's Mandalorian Season 4? Mandalorian, Unleashed. No, it's Luke Skywalker, Unleashed. Mandalorian story.
So, synopsis. Here we go. Spider-Verse Unleashed is an exhilarating sequel to beloved animated film, Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse. The thrilling continuation delves deeper into the multiverse, expanding the Spider-Man mythology and exploring new dimensions while introducing compelling characters and facing unprecedented challenges.
So far, so good. Yeah, that's great. So, that's the synopsis of the movie we're talking about right now.
Exactly. Yeah. The actual story here, okay, and I quote, the story picks up a year after the events of the first film. Okay. Miles Morales, now a confident, experienced Spider-Man, continues to protect his version of New York City. However, a mysterious threat emerges from the depths of the multiverse, endangering not only his reality, but the fabric of the Spider-Verse itself.
Okay.
An ancient and powerful entity known as the Webweaver has awakened.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Do you know the Webweaver?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
That sounds awesome.
If it's who I'm thinking of, let me take a look here.
Screw you, Miguel. I want the Webweaver. Spider-Verse Unleashed. Like, this is all sounding good.
This is good shit. Seeking to unravel the interconnected web of the multiverse and rewrite reality to its own whims. As dimensions crumble and collapse, numerous spider people from different realities are pulled into Miles' world, each grappling with their own doubts, fears, and unique powers.
Of course, yep.
Miles teams up once again with Peter B. Parker, Gwen Stacy, and other familiar faces. Together, they must embark on a perilous journey across a kaleidoscope of dimensions, racing against time to find a way to stop.
Other than Webweaver, so far this is just the sequel. Did AI write the sequel to this movie? Because everything, it's literally, because it even did Peter B. Parker, Spider-Gwen, and other friends. So it's like,
I got a lot of like notes here saying that this can't source from anything beyond like 2021.
Okay, that's so far still, it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
It is pretty close.
Very impressed.
Stop the Webweaver before it consumes all realities. Along their quest, they encounter intriguing new iterations of Spider-Man. They meet Miguel O'Hara.
Oh, dystopian future.
Not a villain, though.
He brings advanced technology and a jaded outlook. They also encounter Mayday Parker, the daughter of Peter Parker from an alternate reality who inherited the mantle of Spider-Man.
We got Webweaver right here, so... That's not a good sign.
Love that outfit. Look at the T-Rex or the yeah, that's T-Rex.
Not a good sign though. AI wanted to make one of the gay Spider-Man characters the villain, so you know right away it's like
no, not all like that.
Yeah, but yeah, there you go, the Webweaver. But okay, Taylor, continue.
Okay. As the heroes navigate treacherous realms and face formidable adversaries, they learn valuable lessons about sacrifice, unity, and the true essence of heroism. Miles, in particular, faces a personal journey of self-discovery as he grapples with the weight of his responsibilities and the desire to honor the legacy of his predecessor.
Okay.
This
is the most accurate one we've gone so far. This is
crazy. Yeah. The search for a solution leads them to a forgotten corner of the multiverse where they encounter a mysterious figure known as the Arachnomancer. Now, have you heard of that?
No, like, I've not heard of the Arachnomancer.
That is amazing.
So cool. Kirkland, you're going to search that one up because I can't spell those two
words.
I'm
looking it up.
Yeah, that's super, super cool. With her ancient knowledge and connection to the web of life, she holds the key to restoring balance and stopping the web weaver's rampage. I just love that. It's like a Matrix.
That is so cool. The only reference is to D&D, so it doesn't sound like it's an actual...
just made it up. Did you type Marvel and then those two words?
Of course I didn't. I just said Arachnomancer. One word, by the way.
Okay.
Let's see. The Webweaver. Rampage. Oh, did you get it?
I don't think so. It brought me to Arachnoman.
But then could also be so. Maybe what it's
the spectacular Arachnomancer. But this is like fan art. But because I'm gonna keep diggling.
However, they soon realize that defeating the web weaver requires a sacrifice that could reshape their understanding of what it means to be a hero. In an epic confrontation, the spider people join forces, combining their unique abilities and forging an unbreakable bond. Through their unwavering determination and selflessness, they succeed in unraveling the web weaver's plans and saving the Spider-Verse from destruction. As the dimensions stabilize, the spider people bid farewell to each other and return to their respective realities with newfound hope and purpose. Miles embraces his role as a beacon of inspiration, knowing that the Spider-Verse will always be there to support him when needed. Spider-Verse Unleashed is a visually stunning and emotionally resonant sequel that honors the spirit of the original film.
It's given a review of its own story.
It is. With its dynamic characters, dazzling animation, a powerful exploration of identity and heroism, the film captivates audiences and leaves them eagerly awaiting the next chapter in the Spider-Verse saga. And, of course, I wanted to expand on this, too. Yep. In a post-credit scene,
nice.
A shadowy figure secretly observes the spider people and plots
Luke Skywalker.
With the his personal fleet.
Republic flight or fleet,
And plots to exploit the multiverse's vulnerability for their own nefarious plans, setting the stage for future adventures. And in this post-credit scene, the shadowy figure is revealed to be none other than Norman Osborn.
Having witnessed
the spider people's ability to traverse the multiverse, becomes obsessed with harnessing its power for his own sinister purposes. Motivated by his insatiable thirst for power, Norman begins assembling a team of villains from different dimensions, each with their own unique abilities. He plans to exploit the unstable nature of the multiverse, seeking to gain unparalleled dominion over all realities. Norman's ultimate goal is to create a device capable of manipulating and controlling the multiverse, giving him unrivaled power and allowing him to reshape reality according to his desires. And this sets the stage for a thrilling showdown between the spider people and Norman's team of interdimensional villains.
These writers don't want AI involved, but fuck, they just gave me a great, Guardians and Mando finale, not so much. Spider-Verse, man, that's a great anchor. Villains from different dimensions? Oh, man. That is
epic. That and, like, to great. Lead into, like, a super ultimate showdown. I'm
Sinister Six from the multiverse versus the Spider-Friends. I could see that post. Fuck,
you got I like that a lot.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I was expecting a lot more ridiculous laughs, but sounds good.
Can you ask who's gonna die in this movie? I just want to get its opinion on that. It might not be able to accept it, so if not, that's fine. And then after, we need that Harley Quinn follow up.
I was trying.
Computer just explodes.
I was trying to ask it. How many Spider-Men it thinks will die? But it wasn't comfortable answering that. But
I don't feel comfortable answering this, Taylor. Yeah. Is that what it's like?
I don't talk about death. I don't know, talk about death or blowjobs, okay? Those are my two limits. Yeah, just ask him. Ask and see. And then
jobs, I'm fine with, but blowjobs.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Now it's like... It's spinning it in like a sequel because it's after the fact, like it's pulling this main script that it wrote for the movie and the post credit scene. So now it's kind of combining the two, if that makes sense. So
you can just tell us who dies, yeah.
In Spider-Verse Unleashed, it's always challenging to decision to determine which characters may meet their demise. During the climactic battle,
telling the actor as he dies 5 minutes into the movie, the Miles Bragg, it's always challenging to decide who lives and goes.
During the climactic battle against the Weaver and Norman Osborn's team of interdimensional villains, tragedy strikes as Peter Parker, the older and wiser mentor figure to Miles Morales, sacrifices himself to protect the other spider people. Peter's death serves as a pitiful moment that inspires Miles and the rest of the team to find their strength within themselves to carry on and defeat the villains. Peter's sacrifice highlights the theme of responsibility. Pass the torch.
Mm-hmm. So Peter B. Parker's going to eat it in this one, I guess, eh?
Let's see.
That's what it said. What do you mean? What are you saying? Let's see.
Does anyone else die? I'm asking that question.
Murder them all, AI. Murder them all.
It's not. Okay. It's telling me it's not necessary for additional major characters to die at this point. However, to create suspense and raise the stakes... during the battle against Weaver and Norman Osborn's team, some some innocent civilians may be caught in the crossfire and tragically lose their lives. Their deaths can serve as emotional catalysts for the spider people.
Won't give up any main characters, but these civilians, they're biting it.
Just picture that one lady from Green Lantern with the giant fucking head just locks on. Just takes her up.
Oh, okay. And finally, asked it what would be a good title for a Harley Quinn movie? Give us that.
Forgot about that.
Because this is what people could have been using in 2020, maybe. It's like the Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
It's the exact same title.
Yeah.
It might do it.
Maybe. We'll see.
Oh, wow. That was quick. Title, Harley Unleashed. Quinn Breaking Chains.
Okay, you know that you know what? Actually, again, not to give Ada credit.
Damn.
Yeah, it would have worked because the whole movie's about her getting away from the Joker and being on her own, so she's breaking chains. Like, it is a very, like, I don't know, like Hot Topic type of title, but
Fleetwood Mac, that's like the theme song for it, too. I'll never break the chain.
Yeah, but they'd get someone else, they get like Doja Cat to they cover it for sure, you know.
I'm a boss, I'm a bitch.
Yeah, oh, great song. Okay, well, let's take an ad break and we'll get back to the actual predictions here, so we'll be right back. Okay, so let's talk about the elephants in the room here. Will we see or hear any of Toby, Andrew, or Tom Holland Spider-Man? I forgot Andrew's name for a second, yeah. But will we see any of the three live action Spider-Man this go around?
Yes, all three. That's my prediction.
In this movie?
Okay.
You got a third one still.
Maybe, yeah. Do we blow our load all at once? It is. Do they want to be close, though, to the No Way Home stuff?
That's why if you do it next year, maybe it's further away, you know? That's,
yeah.
If you do it next year, what is that?
Yes. I'm going to. God, I'm gonna
that's
say
4 years. That's 3 years after No Way Home came out in 2021.
Jesus. I'll say for sure at least two of them. I won't say which two. And then by the end of the trilogy, we would have seen all three. That's my ChatGPT guess.
This one's tough for me because there seems like there is a lot going on with this. If there were any, I'd be the reverse of Kirkland where I feel like you'd get one here and then two elsewhere. I feel like it would be good to use one of them in previewing. Like, luckily, I guess we gotta do box office. Luckily, it's tracking better than the first one as far as the opening weekend, so maybe it won't need the help, but that'd be nice because No Way Home, they never got to do that, right? They didn't get to take advantage of advertising Andrew and Toby. So, but again, do you do that if they're only like a cameo? Because I don't think either of them, any of them, will be like the way Peter B. Parker is or Spider-Man Noir. I don't think they're going to be in a whole film or something like that. I think that's kind of gone. I think if No Way Home didn't happen, I think there was a chance, but now it happened, I think it's a little samey. So I'll actually go with nobody, barring a post-credit scene, which we'll talk about. I'll go with nobody, and if there had to be one, I'd say one here and two elsewhere. That's what I'll say. So what about you, Taylor?
I think we could get one here. I'm kind of thinking that. And if we were to get the one, I feel like it would be a Tom Holland one, to be honest. I feel like you'd save the Andrew and the Toby for something else.
You're saying Tom Holland's lesser than those other guys?
No, but I think he's more in the now right now, especially if they're going to maybe bring him back in to the fold. So I think that's kind of what they would want to do.
Bring him back in. Is he out of the fold?
Oh, got you there.
I thought he was out of the fold, and then they're like, hey, here's a check. Let's get you.
No, he still has one more MCU appearance. Still on his contract.
Right. That was Guardians of Galaxy 3, wasn't it? That's what ChatGPT was talking about.
Who was with them again? Oh, it was someone really good, too. It was who was the character? Remember, it was somebody from X-Men that we were like, Tarzan guy from fucking
loincloth man.
Yeah, whatever his name was from.
Dylan was here, he would remember.
Savage Land. Yeah. Hopefully he comes back. But we'll see. And then let's see. Is there any other? Because obviously we've seen there's Vulture in here. I think there's the Spot. But I think there's another one shot there. But is there any villains that we haven't seen yet, Kirkland, that you want to be seeing? Or any? I'll give you this: villains or Spider-Man characters.
Well, there's a lot of Spider-Man characters. Or
give me
I
your
guess
three.
You're just saying.
No,
you're
who
saying,
do you
like,
think?
Side character or anything?
Yeah, I meant like some Yeah, it's like an Aunt May equivalent. Also, we've seen Aunt May, so not her. But I'm saying like new people, not any of the old people. So not seeing like Mary Jane again, because yeah, we saw her. Like anyway, we didn't see in the first one. We haven't seen marketing that, you know, like oh, it'd be great to see like Morbius.
I would not like to see Morbius in this film.
I would if it was Jared Leto and he popped out of a spot portal and said Morbin time. You know,
just for like. It. For like good characters, I can't really think of anyone because I just feel like we have such a healthy amount of them already. You could have, I don't know, because like even like the people that I would pull from are the ones that are acquaintances with like Peter Parker, and like I don't really know Miles's homies other than the ones that were introduced in the first movie. So it's kind of tough to pull more from that. I haven't really dabbled in his comics or anything. So my mind just goes villains, and I feel like if any villain, any Spider-Man villain that gets brought into this is just like extremely side character, kind of like what Tombstone was in the first movie. Like he's just kind of a henchman type dude. It doesn't mean that I don't want to see them though, because like Rhino, I love that character so much for how ridiculous he is, and I think the Spider-Verse movies, like he would fit in so well there. So definitely would love to see him a part of something. I don't know what it would be. I don't really picture him in the Spider-Man world. It could be like a one little villain that just like, what has Miles been doing this whole time while he's dispatching people, you know, that are like this. So then if I get a little shot of Rhino in like the actual like 60s style suit, like that's what I want to see, just as cheeseball as possible. Who else could we get? We had what are you pointing at? Venom.
You don't think you're gonna see your boy? I feel like it has to happen before the trilogy's over, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it's like the most iconic, like, antagonist sort of thing that Spider-Man really comes across. Anti-hero, but I like to see him as an antagonist for sure.
Like that not, is a good and even pick. If it's not Venom, like, do you not? Is there not like a black suit symbiote Spider-Man? Is there not like a Spider-Man out there that like kept the suit? Even if he was an antagonist, right? Like, wouldn't that be cool?
That could be
in
really
one universe
cool.
where it's like, this is the universe where Peter didn't take off the suit ever. Yeah. And he's just fucking savage and stuff. Like,
it's probably like a negative thing in my own camp. Cause I feel like any symbiotic type thing, whether it's the Venom suit or easy for me to say, Symbiote, there we go.
Symbiote, yeah, you're like the fucking Venom trailer from 2008. Symbiotic.
I feel like that has to be like a main villain type thing to have it in there. But I feel like, again, like I said, like it's just my own thing that I'm bringing into that. And I hopefully want to get to a point that Spider-Man is introduced. And that doesn't have to be just a main plot point. It could just be something in the world. And maybe this is the universe that we actually get there on.
Do you feel that way about Green Goblin? Because in Spider-Verse, the first one, Green Goblin was just like a big baddie for like a scene, right? And then he was pretty much
good
like,
point.
He's around, but he just kills, you know, Chris Pine. And he's not really in the plot, you know?
I think the symbiote is bigger. If I had to rate
bigger
them,
than Goblin, really?
I think so personally. That's where I'd put my chips on that vote. But you bring up a good point for sure, and
I'm 50% with you.
You've sold me though on the fact that I could see a symbiote not being the main villain. Kind of how what was it? Ultimate
Storm,
Green Goblin.
Yeah, Ultimate.
What
Green
was the
verb?
Yeah, that version.
Like Hulk-like. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of cheesed, only
you?
Said two there, but that's
cause
my
like,
two votes.
That's fine, because like, I feel like I still rank Green Goblin as a bigger Spider-Man villain, but I don't know if Green Goblin had a solo movie if he could pull an $800 million, so that's where I'm stuck.
No E-minum doing the...
Goblin, get that Goblin, gonna fly and get you.
Yeah, that bangs.
Yeah, you get it on an E-minum. Villains.
I just got curious and I wrote out like, oh, write me a Goblin Green Goblin standalone
movie.
Yeah,
did they give you an answer?
Sure. It pumped it out.
Dylan's listening to this somewhere hating it. He's like, you're abusing the gimmick. Stop it. Like, give me it.
You want me to give it?
Fuck
to you?
Yeah, okay. I don't care. Yeah.
Okay. This is okay. Title: Green Goblin: Rise of the Goblin King.
Okay, now we're back to bat. That's not a good title, you know. Like, it is on its own, but to say Green Goblin, you know, but that sounds like Sony, though, where literally it's Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse. So, you know what? This tracks already.
The
so,
next
okay,
thing
continue.
Would be to take that title and put it into ChatGPT and be like, what is this movie? But we'll see that for another cast.
I think what we have to do is, because the reason I haven't done the BS meter in a while is because that site that was the main one, they've been getting some stuff right recently, so they might have got some new scoopers, or people just thought they were a big deal and gave them stuff. And then two, they're posting like less like out there ones, so maybe we might replace it with just a ass GPT segment for 30 minutes, and that's just like bring some topics to the forefront and whatnot.
That'd be
so
fun.
Yeah, give us this Goblin movie. I'm down.
Interior, Oscorp Industries, day. Norman Osborn, a brilliant...
Wait, stop. How long is this thing? Because you guys now know what interior is. That's usually the start of a script. So this is like a 79-page story you're about to read us?
No, this is...
Okay.
It's short. But
I got worried when you said interior. It, like, oh, shit.
It chose to give me set pieces and settings for this. So
cool. Let's go. Okay.
Norman Osborn, a brilliant but troubled scientist, toils away in his high-tech laboratory. His obsession with power and control drives him to experiment on himself, seeking an edge over his competitors. Internal experimental chamber night. Norman injects himself with an experimental serum, unknowingly unleashing a chaotic transformation. His body contorts and his mind deteriorates, consumed by a dark and malevolent force. Mm-hmm. Exterior, New York City skyline, night. The newly transformed Norman, now the Green Goblin, takes to the skies on his goblin glider, surveying the city below with sinister glee.
Yeah?
Interior, Goblin's lair. Deep beneath the city, Norman creates a hidden lair filled with weapons, gadgets, and a new arsenal of goblin-themed technology.
He is now the... So far, this movie's pitch is just... He's going to be a villain that kills everyone.
We're just like, following him.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the hook. But so far, it's just, what happens if Green Goblin had no Spider-Man? Well, he's going to kill everyone, but maybe this is the trailer.
There's no one to stop him. Yeah.
Just weapons. He's cackling over the city.
Especially that it was just taking us to different like sets. Yeah.
Oh. Everyone that's meme of like your boyfriend's Spider-Man, the way you find as you wake up one night with Colin in the corner. What is he saying? What is he
it's
saying?
It's over for you.
Yeah, it's over for you.
Enter a random female's bedroom late at night.
It's over for you. Oh, if I ever meet William Dafoe, get him to say that for me. Anyways, continue, Taylor. We're at his lair now. He's getting ready to kill me.
At his lair. He's filling it with weapons, gadgets, and goblin-themed technology. He is now the Goblin King, determined to rule. Determined to rule New York with fear. So yeah, he's straight up just total villain, 100% villain.
Oh my golly,
he's just the Goblin King too. There's no other goblin, so he's the automatically the king. Yeah, okay.
Internal Daily Bugle Day. Peter Parker, a young and aspiring photographer, investigates the rise of the Green Goblin. He captures photos of the destruction caused by the Goblin's reign of terror, unknowingly putting himself in the path of danger. Internal Peter's apartment, night. Peter studies his photos, connecting the dots.
For you.
Holy shit. That would have been the perfect place for it. Especially if we're following Norman, you know, it's from his perspective.
That would have been great.
Oh my god. I love that it's like it made it sound like he's like taking photos of the crime, like it's like he's doing his job well. It's like, no, the city's just blown up and he's just taking photos of it. Like, there's no specialness to Peter here. But anyways, so
well Peter studies his photos, connecting the dots and realizing the Goblin's true identity. He understands that stopping the Goblin is his responsibility as Spider-Man. Okay, so.
Okay, so he's, yeah, I was so worried he's there. Yeah, just Peter Parker just standing out to him.
I don't like bullies.
Yeah.
Interior alleyway, night. Spider-Man confronts
alleyway's
the Goblin.
Interior, that's exterior. What's going on here, chat?
Interior.
Yeah.
Spider-Man confronts the Goblin in a fierce battle, swinging through the city as they exchange blows. The Goblin's gadgets and cunning make him a formidable adversary. Yep. Interior, Goblin's lair, night. Spider-Man infiltrates the Goblin's lair. So they fought, and Spider-Man's just going straight to the, the lair here.
Cold play.
Infiltrates the Goblin's lair, encountering traps and deadly obstacles. He uncovers the Goblin's plan to release a deadly toxin that will plunge the city into chaos.
Final now it's showdown, just a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. No, this is the first Batman movie.
It just transitioned, yeah.
Spider-Man and the Goblin engage in a final epic battle atop a towering skyscraper. Their fight pushes the limits of their strength and determination. Spider-Man, Firm. Your reign ends here, Goblin. New York will never bow to your terror. Green Goblin. Oh, Spider-Man, you're just a child-playing hero. I am the one true king of the city. In a climactic moment, Spider-Man manages to outwit and overpower the Goblin, disarming him and saving the city from the deadly toxin.
Okay.
Oscorp Industries Day. Norman, now reverted to his human form, awakens in his lab. The memory of his actions as the Goblin fading away. He is haunted by the knowledge of the darkness he unleashed. Peter, in a serious tone. You have a choice, Norman. Embrace redemption or succumb to the darkness forever. Norman, filled with remorse, chooses to turn his back on his destructive alter ego, vowing to make amends for the chaos he caused. Exterior, New York City Day. Peter, as Spider-Man, swings through the city, protecting it from threats. Norman, now working to rebuild his life, watches from a distance, knowing the consequences of his actions will forever shape his destiny. There's your standalone Green Goblin movie, The Goblin King.
Sounds like a Spider-Man movie.
Small reign.
Norman's perspective.
It's literally Spider-Man 1 where he doesn't die and it's from Norman's perspective. There's no hair, but I guess that's what it is. It just sounds like it's a Dr. Jekyll Hyde movie with Green Goblin. That's what it is, I guess. So
There you go.
Yeah. I just pictured him like waking up. It's like, Norman, do you know what happened last night? Last night I was...
I don't
remember.
The GLaDOS is missing. What?
I've never seen a movie in that sense, though, where it just... Yeah, like, we know he's a villain, but, like, even in the anti-hero sense with Venom and Morbius, like, he's not directly like, let's kill, but this guy, like, 5 minutes in, he's got his lair, he's getting
kind of
want to
see a movie like that, yeah. Maybe not the Goblin King, but something.
Yeah, maybe not Green Goblin, but, yeah, we'll make a supervillain movie, so... So for villains, back to this, I would like to see a traditional comic looking Green Goblin of like the 60s version. So we talk about Rhino, like, cause I'm a hater for Ultimate version, but just because I still feel like in live action, you can't make it look exactly like that with the little hat and like the skin tight suit. Like, I think you could, but I don't know if they'll go that far. So, I'd like to see that. Villains, I think Venom has to happen, but I'm pretty open to anybody. I think they'll put it like what I want to is more switches, like how we got with Doc Ock, where that was a fun reveal where it was what is it? My friends call me, what the hell is it? We're forgetting everything.
Oh my gosh,
today. Val, is it right? Octavia, but my friends call me Val, right? That's what it is.
I thought it was Liv. Yeah.
Liv, thank you. That's what it is. No, you're right. It's Liv. So I'd love to see more switches. Yeah, I'd love to see more switches like that. The ultimate is I'd want to see Gray Goblin just for our meme. I think that would be great. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen at all. And my biggest one probably too is, because I don't know if we're going to get live action, give me some fucking Hobgoblin, man. I want to see that orange and yellow bastard flying around. I think that'd be great to make him an antagonist, even if it's just for a fight. But yeah.
Yeah. I love that pick. You made me think when you were talking about the switcheroo and when I just Googled Spider-Man side characters initially, just saw Flash Thompson, and it's like, man, because he was like anti-Venom, right? At some point, necessarily anti-Venom, he was some sort of Venom.
He's the Venom that's like, he can control the suit because he's paralyzed, but if he's in it too long, he stays in it because it's like, he goes to war, he gets back, he can't use his legs, but I'd like that. That'd be good, because I know there was rumors of that was the Tom Hardy version. I was like, I don't want that for the live action movie, but for this, I would like that for a cameo.
That'd be really cool to get that like symbiote inclusion, but it's also very different than what you're used to seeing.
Yes.
I would love to see that, especially if they have like the all white version of the anti-venom suit. Ooh, that could be spicy for sure.
And the side character, I think it might be an obvious one because the voice actor's right there. I feel like it has to happen once. It's not a for sure, but I feel like we got to get J. Jonah Jameson in here. Obviously, that's more of a Peter Parker-centric character, but... You're telling me you can't get one scene where they crash in the Daily Bugle and you can't get J.K. Simmons in there for a day to just record some fun stuff. I still think it's fine because the movie ended up great. But we made a lot of predictions. I think I made a lot of predictions like with the web shooter jokes and stuff like that. The one joke that they did not do in No Way Home was, I thought for sure, how did they not put J.K. Simmons in a room with Andrew, Toby, and Tom? Like, just to see J.K. have to react. Like, his facials would have been fucking top 10 meme potential. Like, and I'm not saying it just for the memes. I just think it would have been great to see fucking Jonah hates Spider-Man. So the fact that there's three, I think you could maybe do that scene here where he's in the Daily Bugle, even if it's not just all those three, just like multiple spider people crashing in and he has to deal with like and this is animation, so you can make like 10 to 20 different Spider-Men and him just like losing his mind, even if it's not JK. So that's my pitch for side characters and whatnot. So what's going on, Taylor? You got a mischievous Goblin King.
I'm just laughing because I shouldn't have done it. I was like, write me a post-credit scene for Goblin King.
Good. No, they'll give it.
Taylor's not getting any sleep tonight.
No, I'm not.
He's going to be all up all night. Give me this plot for the sixth Goblin King movie.
I'm going to save Sony. Like, I'm going to pitch them so much good shit. Interior, Goblin's Lair, night. The eerie glow of the Goblin's Lair casts sinister shadows across the
always
world.
Always sinister shadows.
Of the Green Goblin's defeated gadgets and weapons lie scattered on the floor. A faint sound of footsteps echoes through the chamber, growing louder with each step. The camera pans to reveal a shadowy figure approaching the center of the lair. Mysterious figure. Well, well, well. It seems the Goblin King has fallen. The figure steps into the dim light, revealing their identity. It's Adrian Toomes, the Vulture. He wears a tattered flight suit, evidence of his past encounters with Spider-Man. Vulture, chuckling. Norman, you may be out of the game, but the game is far from over.
You know what? That's a Sony fucking line right there. Yeah. That's not any worse than, oh, I don't know why I'm here. Some do a Spider-Man. And like, maybe we should do some good around here. Whatever fucking Morbius said, excellent, or whatever he says. Like, that sounds good.
Go on. Okay, Mr. Burns.
Well, apparently he gazes at the serum, and with this, I'll take my revenge. That's what he says. So he's going to use the serum.
Damn. Taylor, any villains or side characters you want to see or hope to see in this one?
I'm with you on the Hobgoblin train. I would really like to see something with that.
Grey Gom too?
Yeah, throw Grey Goblin
too. That's the big plot reveal. Gwen Stacy's pregnant, and Mara's like, oh, we're having a baby. And she's like, not exactly. And Grey Goblin says,
it's from that meme Taylor sent us. That's the origin.
Let's get Black Cat in there. That'd be cool to see.
That was another one. Yeah, that'd be great, but I don't think they'll do it. Even if she's just around in a universe on the side, because like Peter B is with Mary Jane, Miles is with Gwen, so I don't feel like there's any romance there, but like, I don't know, have her hook up with Miguel or my boy Ben Reilly, which I hate that he's voiced by fucking Andy Samberg. He was rumored to be in the cast, like, oh, they're going to make him fucking Ben Reilly, Scarlet Spider.
Have hope. Remember what we thought about Peter B. Parker's cast?
Yeah, this one's worse than that, but I'll have hope.
What's his name? Not Nick. That's his character from New Girl.
That's New Girl.
Yeah, Joe Johnson.
Jake Johnson? Who's Joe
Johnson? It's not Joe Johnson.
It's definitely Jake Johnson.
I think Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson's the director of Jurassic Park 3 and Captain America, the first Avenger. Yeah.
We are off the rails on names today.
What if Jake Johnson directed Joe Johnson? No. In the Goblin King 3. Yeah, but I would love to see Black Cat, because I don't think we're getting her live action anytime. I've heard the pitch for the solo movie is fucking awful. That Sony wanted to make it like Joker-like, so it's like, that sounds terrible. There was a leaker that said they had read the script and saw storyboards, and it was that this is not a joke, that she was attacked. It was unsure if it was a physical attack or a sexual assault, but either way, this is a Sony script, because they wanted to make it like Joker-like, and so she was crying, and she took her mascara and like made like the cat mask and everything like that. So that was a rumored leak for a script that Sony was looking at. So which sounds fucking...
Say, it's just like that movie you're describing about the porn.
Which I don't need Black Cat to be that.
Please don't do that. The first time I see Black Cat in the live action, I don't want it to be that.
Yeah. Okay, let's take our last ad break here, and we'll get to, I think, our kind of last few predictions. We'll be right back. Okay, so usually we start with this one, but, we're going to semi-end with it. Box office, last one made $384 million. The last film opened at like a 30 to 4. I can't remember what it specifically was, but right now it's tracking anywhere from 60 to 100 million. So it has like a big, probably like a 50% jump. So it's doing really well. It surprises me. But where do you guys think it will end? Obviously, we talked about before, busy month. You have this, the week after is Transformers, week after is Flash. So, and even the same week as Flash, is that's when the Elementals open up. That's a family film. Now, that's not tracking well right now. It's tracking like kind of bomb territory. So, Taylor, I'll start with you. 384. Let's just go that. Do you think it beats the first one?
It beats 384.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is 384 considered like really big?
I don't think so. I think it's considered success. Also, we got a sequel, and I don't know what the Spider-Verse budget in here. Budget, but remember, it also won them an Oscar and stuff like that. So it was $90 million. So at that point, you double it, $180 million. You're making a profit. So I think it's a good one. I don't think it's like, especially though it's because this came out in 2018, 2019. That's when you had like multiple animation films like hitting billions and stuff like that. So it was smaller, but like you said,
it was 384
total box office. Yeah,
that's over doubling it. That's like tripling it. That's pretty damn amazing.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's why you got two more, you know? So that's what I'm saying, Taylor. You're thinking about it, though.
It's all right, I guess.
It's all relative to the size of the budget, right?
But it's okay.
I think it's gonna beat it.
You just asked me. You said blanket is 384. Go, oh yeah, that's all right. You don't think it's gonna beat it?
No, I think it's gonna beat it, but I don't think it's gonna beat it by much. I think it'll probably
what's the
hit
number?
Like I'll do
384.1, the classic Taylor. Good Price is Right rules.
I'd probably say, I want to say like 390 or like 400. I'll say 400 just to be safe. It's summertime, and I really do think that this is going to, just seeing all the Spider-Men in there, I think that there's something for everyone, and I think people are really going to just be invested in this.
I feel like we've joked about this, but I feel like maybe not now, but maybe start with The Flash. Soon, we got to start writing these predictions down. And at the end of the year, go over them. Because we always make these, but I don't know what I predicted for this and that, you know? Like, I don't know if Taylor's going to be right or wrong. So maybe I'll start that with The Flash, and we'll do, like, a point system or something.
We can even go back and do some homework, listen to our actual predictions episode.
Yeah, but writing them, that's many hours. Writing them down, that's a quick, oh, look, got it wrong, got it right, you know?
I know, that's what I mean. We'll go through, do the homework, get the numbers, and then by the, you know, we'll be caught up by the time of The Flash, but
okay, good.
I digress.
Kirkland's gonna do that. Yeah, okay.
I volunteer no one.
So you're thinking just over 400 million, Taylor? You're thinking,
I would say I will go with 400 million flat.
Flat,
not a penny more, Travis.
Not a penny more. Wow, all right. Well,
stop
Kirkland.
The count. Yeah, I mean, I just did a quick little peruse, and it's pretty crazy that like the projected opening is so much higher than what the actual opening was for the first one. That's kind of very surprising, actually, for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like the original opening was a lot higher than what that was, but the overall, it must just had a lot of word of mouth to just jump to mm-hmm. 384. Or is that a natural growth for a movie like that?
I don't think so. I didn't think it was going to grow this much. I, for months, was saying, like, I didn't think so, but... won an Oscar, Netflix, people love like this movie. I just feel like I just didn't hear it talked about enough in my personal life, but clearly the jump has people excited and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I think Taylor is good in is in a good ballpark there, being close to that first one. I think it is going to be somewhere close to that number of 384, but I think it'll. I think it'll be higher than what the first one was. I'm going to go, I'll do 404.
404, wow.
We'll counter all Taylor. Right. This is usual tactics on me.
I'll make this easy. 405. No, I'm going to go bold because I was wrong about this before. I'm going to say it's going to be just over 500 million.
Oh my golly.
Just over because... I don't know how Elemental is going to do. There's some other fucking movie called Ruby Gilman or something that S-Webs told me that it's a kids movie. I feel like this will be the family go-to for the summer. I feel like it's one that could get repeat viewings and stuff like that, especially there's fun different cameos, if there's a good ending and stuff like that. So I'm just going bold because that opening is a lot higher than the other one. If it was like... Mm-hmm. You know, 10-15% higher, pick. Oh, yeah, fine. That's literally being like potentially 100% higher than the other one. You're literally going 40 to 80. Like, if that happens, it's like, that's fucking crazy. So, I'm going to be bold and say over 500. If you're going to ask me, it's going to be like 502. Like, it's going to be close. I could see like a 498 even, but I'm going to stick with the boldest and say that. But I think it's going to be closer to 500 than 400. So,
yeah,
that's my prediction. So, we'll see. But busy summer, too. Who knows? Because you got Indie, Flash, stuff like that. What do you guys think the ending will be? I think I already kind of said I think it's going to be like something with Gwen, and that'll seem like a cliffhanger that maybe she's dead. I swear they better not just end it literally on her falling and they just cut. But I feel like it'll be something like that. I think the directors and them have kind of hinted it has like a Empire Strikes Back sort of cliffhangery way where it's like it's going to end in a way where you would need to see that next part and stuff like that. So that's where I could see if there is a death that happens there, or maybe it's something where like Miles gets stuck in a multiverse with nobody, like he's like just like it's closed off, so nobody's gonna get back. But that's how I think of stuck in the multiverse or something with Gwen, fake death kind of in a way.
Yeah, I like that pitch about him being stuck somewhere, especially just with how densely populated this movie seems to be with how many Spider-Men. If we just take all of that away and we have Miles on his own, that's something that he really hasn't been in. Like, even in the first one, with moments of being alone, he's not really alone. He always has his family at the end of the day. He's got Peter B. Parker, and they leave him. I do air quotes there. They leave him for like 5 minutes of the movie. But I really like that prediction there. But to be adventurous and to not just steal yours, I'll say it ends with the Miguel death. So that gets back to my prediction with him dying. So I gotta be right there twice. So I think he will die. I think it will end in a way that like he. I think the turn could have happened before like the really climax of that movie, but he does die at that climax moment and it feels like we're gonna win or something, but then something goes wrong and it doesn't, and it's almost like an Infinity War ending where it's just like
Thanos walks out with the spots portal.
Yeah,
they just redo
there, but like something that's like so like gut-wrenching that like, oh my god, we did it, and then it's just like completely taken away from us, and then it's just we're left there in the theaters. I'm just kind of recreating the Infinity War. At least I'm getting a flashback to back in 2019 when that movie happened. And or
the director did say Empire Strikes Back, you know. 2018.
Okay, good guess. So, yeah, I don't think it'll be so much our like the spot or whoever the main villain is like a Darth Vader. Oh, yeah, I won this round. But it'll feel melancholy and like sad. So that's my thoughts there. Without just, I really like your pick though, Travis. Mostly about the second one.
Dayfield.
So just predicting how it ends.
Yeah, where are we left when the credits hit? What is the reason it gets us from having this not be a one movie but a two parter?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
I'll be like watching your eyes. I'll see if you're reading off something.
I thought you were searching for the end credit or something like that.
The first one definitely, like, it obviously ended with that cliffhanger, but
minor, very, very minor.
I feel like this one is going to end much more open ended with it being like, hey, this is it's going to be something very drastic. But again, I don't think anyone's going to die. I'm standing by that prediction I made earlier. So it's just tough to think of another poll. It would have to be some devastating event, like just the Spider-Verse just like ripping open.
Or if it's like the spotlight like
King fucking enters.
So not any death, but what if the spot or somebody like took out like a whole multiverse, like one of the Earths or something like that, right?
Where it's
like
at people, least one death.
Yeah, like but none of our main characters die, but it's like, I don't know, you take like Miguel's home or you take Gwen Stacy's home, something like that, where it's just like closed up and it's
I
gone.
Would like that if maybe like Gwen loses her whole home and she has to they can't they just
shack up.
Yeah, they shack up. She has to move in with Miles.
Just do the dishes, and his parents. Do the cleaning. I'm Spider-Man here, so you can't be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Misogynistic Miles.
That can't really happen because they kind of like tweak out, right? In the first one, they were glitching. They had to get back to their...
Yeah, but all you make it, yeah, you meet some fucking scientist like, oh, I've been working on this since you've been gone. Like, oh, that's all it takes.
That's all it takes. I think I could get on board with something like that. Someone's home or planet or universe just being fucking bopped. Maybe they just wipe out the MCU's timeline. Someone's like, fuck you, Feige. And just like, oh, all those events are destroyed. It's a
line
fuck
from you, the Feige. Spot. Yeah. Fuck you, Feige. Looking right at the camera. For you. Okay. So then finally, what post-credit, Kirk, I'll leave with you. What post-credit are we going to get for this if we get one? You're searching up, aren't you, too? What are you
not about? Goblin King.
You might be out of the game, but it's not over.
Game's not over.
I think it would be a comedic end credit, if anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back ending, and then we get some chuckles. It's like an ant playing drum.
Well, it's still a lighthearted Spider-Verse movie.
Maybe it's not this time.
Some Spider-Horse reference or something. I don't know. Something to just kind of make you feel happy after going through some traumatic
thing. Really?
I don't think there'll be like a really big story one, but I'm probably wrong on that prediction. I don't know. I just feel like if they do it right, all of the things that get you wanting to go to the next movie wouldn't be in the end credit. It would be in the actual movie itself. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not very strong on that prediction, but I'll die on that hill. I'll say yeah. Just a single comedic type end credit.
I'll go the other route. I think it's going to be, you know, your comparisons to Infinity War. I think it will be pretty close to a rip off of. No, not that. I think it'll
Endgame,
be.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's Endgame. I think it'll be a Captain Marvel pager equivalent, where it's a character something showing up. Now, I don't know if it would be Ben Reilly, because I don't think people would get hyped by that. But at the same time, these are the fucking people they put Miguel O'Hara as the first end credit scene, the last one. And I guarantee, unless you're a Spider-Man fan, you didn't know who Spider-Man 2099 was, right? You're like, who's this? And it was good because it was a story beat scene of him getting the watch and going universes. But then it was comedic as well, where they did the, you know, the old-timey meme of, hey, you're Spider-Man, I'm Spider-Man, and stuff like that, right? So I think that, as I've said before, either you get one of the three, the main three, the Toby, Tom, Andrew. I think that could be a big pager moment, like, oh, look who's coming to save or help out. Mm. And then if not, I could see Ben Reilly being that, as far as like maybe lots of Spider-Men are missing and he puts the suit back on because he's a clone and he's going to get back out there. And that kind of fits with a story slash comedic one, because they could do a story beat of him doing something, but then you got Sandberg, and you know Sandberg will do something funny, you know, or people think's funny. I don't know. I'm hit or miss with Sandberg. I love his Lonely Island stuff, and I love Popstar, but there's there's just not some. That's kind of the wrong beat, but that's okay. There's just something about Andy Sandberg as Ben Reilly that I'm like, I don't know. But so that's my prediction. Is it's something alluding to someone coming to save us or something like that. So.
I know what I did wrong with the beat. I had the cum in my pants.
Jizz in my pants.
Yeah, jizz in my pants. That's that was the beat I had.
Dick in the box. Put it in the box quick now. Gonna do now. Dick.
You do know your Lonely Island song.
Oh, I was a massive Dick in a Box fan because I was a massive JT fan. But
inclusion in those are underrated.
Yeah, and they tried again with Mother Lovers and the three-way. It ain't gay if it's a three-way and stuff like that. But nothing got to Dick in the Box level. No, and I'm another big fan of, Taylor has to appreciate this, Jack Sparrow, one of the greatest songs created of all time. Well, Jack Sparrow!
Michael Bolton.
Oh, yeah. Have you guys seen all the Pirates of the Caribbean? Oh, not really. Oh, it's really fucking good. Oh, did you write the song? Oh, yeah. Sexy Hook, you're really going to dig. Michael Bolton. For the Isle of Tortuga, old Captain Jack. And then he just goes, Aaron Brockovich, Scarface. Great fucking stuff. And just like, I think Michael Bolton's cinephile. But, you know, I don't need him as Ben Reilly. But Taylor Field, end credits.
You're getting
Jack Sparrow.
I'm very much with you on the fact that I think we could see maybe my prediction of like the one Tom Holland popping up or something like that. I think that would be a great way to maybe lighten the mood if it's a bit of a darker ending. Feels a little hopeful. At least one of the three, but I'm going to put my chips on Tom Holland Spider-Man appearing.
I always wonder with these ones that, like, we're assuming you're going to get Toby and Andrew back in Secret Wars, but whatever, they don't have to really talk about it. They can just allude to it. I always wonder, though, if we get Tom, like, does he ever mention this in the MCU movies that they do in a trilogy? Like, or is it something that happened in the past? Like, that always is the thing that makes me wonder of, like, is there a disconnect there? Or is it just something they do allude to? Of like, yeah, well, I was around. I also found another multiverse. Like, I feel like it's a pretty big deal. It was different before when we were talking about having Andrew and Toby in these before No Way Home. Because, like, oh, that'd be the first time they could just do it. But, like, even then it's like, they would have gone to the MCU and then come over here when they'd be like, oh, this again, unless they just have them as like background. But even then, it's just like, I feel like that's always been my disconnect of what do they do canonically with this, you know?
I don't know. Just mind wiped as soon as they went back. Let's not make it easy.
Yeah.
The Men in Black
guys, Goblin King. He has his own mind wiper.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Oh. Anything else? Any predictions? Anything you want to throw out there for Spider-Verse?
I'm expecting a Fire soundtrack to the same quality as the first one was. Because I was bumping that for a long time.
I don't think I'll get the same as the first one, but I'm hoping there's at least a couple bangers in there. Because I don't think this full album's like made by Kendrick Lamar or anything, which I don't even think he didn't make the whole first one, but he had a lot of hands in the first one. So
yeah, I think he is like a big producer on it or something. But
yeah,
yeah, you had What's Up Danger, Sunflower. That song was just fucking everywhere.
And there's there's that other song.
The Mine song was really good.
Which one's that?
I'll have to pull up the track list. Keep going.
The one I like is like the "I'm coming home now, I'm coming home." The one they use for the trailer. It's like,
Yeah.
And then they used, it's for the end credit. Like the, it's like Invincible? Get Loose. It's like, I think that's the coming home one. The end credit one's like, "Jump, jump, get higher, baby. Jump, jump, gonna miss, baby." And these are the trailers and stuff like that. It's get boogie with it or get something.
There's a lot of bangers.
What
you got? What's Up Danger, Sunflower, Way Up. Nobody knows that one. Familia, Invincible. That was the one I was thinking of. Start a Riot. That one's good. Hide. That's a nice little somber one. Memories. Save the Day. Let Go. Scared of the Dark. Elevate. Home.
Elevate's fucking so good. That's another credit one. Yeah.
And then Home might be that other one.
Elevate. Home's the, I don't know which one's Invincible. I think Home is the other one. But yeah, many, many, many great songs. Invincible. I think that's a Golden Geek winner for best sound, soundtrack, stuff like that. So hopefully the second one's, but it's tough to have to live that legend, you know, great soundtracks. So.
Absolutely.
Well, we've done it. These are Spider-Verse predictions. We'll be back on the Thursday night for your PSTP, if not Friday morning of next week, with our whole spoilers predictions or spoiler reviews. I think that's gonna be a really fun one. I think there'll be lots to talk about there. It's one of the longest animated movies as well, too. So yeah, we will be back then, and I promise you, it'll not be boring.
Bye-bye. Bye.